Monks Radio Sport.
Good evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Monks Radio. Rob Pritchard and the team with you here for the next hour, taking a look into the sporting action on the Isle of Man and further afield this weekend, coming up tonight. The top two in the Canada Life Men's Premier League meet on Saturday amongst the latest Isle of Man football fixtures. After another heavy defeat in midweek, FC Isle of Man must dust themselves down and go again as they face free-scoring Pilkington in the NWCFL Premier Division. In rugby, we hear from Vagabonds Ladies ahead of their season opener, as well as taking a look at the other sides taken to the field on Saturday, and week two beckons for the 2025 Isle of Man mixed hockey season. That is all to come this evening. Good evening, welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio, your latest look at all the Isle of Man football, rugby and hockey action taking place on Ireland and further afield this weekend. We're going to start by taking a look at Isle of Man football this coming weekend, and our football correspondent Tony Meppham joins us this evening. Tony, very good evening, and first of all, this is the first time that we've spoken here on Manx Radio since the very tragic passing of Kian Broadhead, who represented PLAFC's men's combination team as well. Huge shock to the footballing community and the whole of the island as well, Tony.
Massive, Rob, because he was such a popular lad, and I actually worked with him, and I was due to work with him on Monday, but I didn't get that chance. But when you look back at sort of 7 days ago, he actually scored against my club, and I was dreading meeting him on Monday just to see what the banter would be, because that's all we ever had was football banter. And he captained the team with pride. He was on the Peel Committee last year. He stepped down this year because just with their commitments and going to watch his beloved Liverpool. And just anybody that knew him, he was going places as a tradesman. He was top notch. And at 25 years of age, to have the capabilities he's had was just unbelievable. And I know just having conversations with him, saving to buy a house. And unfortunately, all that's sort of gone. But I know there's a lot of clubs going down to Peel Football Ground tomorrow to pay their respects for Kian. And it's just so, so sad to lose a really nice, genuine young man who was a really good footballer. And just, I feel honoured that I've sort of been part of his life, worked with him and listened to him and everything else. And you know, I feel so sorry for the family on behalf of the Isle of Man Football Association. Our thoughts are with you, and I'm pretty certain I'm speaking on behalf of the 26 member clubs as well, that our thoughts are with you as well at this very difficult time.
Thank you very much, Tony. Yes, tributes have been pouring in over the last couple of days following the death of Kian Broadhead at the age of 25 on Sunday the 14th of September. And following on from that, PLAFC and the Isle of Man Football Association have confirmed that all of PLAFC's men's and women's senior fixtures this weekend are being postponed and will be played at a later date. Turning then to the fixtures this weekend, we'll take a look at the Canada Life Men's Premier League to start with, all games on Saturday, kicking off at 2:30pm. We'll start, Tony, with a game taking place at Bala Fletcher. Corinthians, still unbeaten at the start of the season, 3 wins and a draw from their opening 4 games, and a healthy goal difference as well, up against the Douglas High School All Boys side, Tony, who promoted back into the top flight, 4 defeats in 4. But there seems to be some suggestions, and certainly I could say, watching them against Rushen United, that doesn't always tell the story, the results they've had, of how well they've played at times.
No, I don't think so. You know, there's a little bit of ribbon from Douglas High School All Boys when they saw the fixtures for the start of the season, and that's a tough start. But they have acquitted themselves, I think, quite well. And they've got some good young players in there, some experienced players. And it's just getting it to gel together. Robbie Ward is the manager, and he'll get the best out of that team. But when you've got people like Cameron Brew and others, young players who are sort of developing very quickly, then you just feel that Old Boys, if they can survive this year — it was always going to be a tough year — then another year under the belt, they'll be a lot stronger next season. But they're coming against the Corinthians team. But I can gladly say to them that there's no Sean Doyle, and that which is good, and there's no Dan Simpson for them. But when you're bringing in Ireland players back in there, like Conor Clark and others, then it's going to make it really difficult for them on a good pitch that Corinthians play so well on the football park. And I was really impressed with Corinthians last week, the way they just sort of chipped away. They had a plan, and they played with 3 at the back. Ryan Burns, I thought Bevan Colley was tremendous. And then Stewie Smith's experiences there kept it nice and solid. So I'd expect Corinthians to win it, but Old Boys certainly, as they showed last week, as you witnessed, Rob, 2-0 just losing out to Russian. They're there or thereabouts, and if they can prove again tomorrow afternoon, then it might just swing their way a little bit tighter.
Elsewhere, there was due to be a game at Gary Moore, but for the aforementioned reasons, the game between Union Mills and Peel in the Canada Life Men's Premier League postponed this weekend. Well, Braddon up against Foxtel, Tony. Now, both these sides still searching for their first win of the new season. Braddon just the 1 point on the board, and Foxtel with a very tough start. 4 defeats from 4. Just how big is this a game in the context of the season for both of these teams?
I think it's a huge game for Braddon because, you know, Braddon have shown to me, I think they're strong enough to sort of survive in this league, because I watched them early on in the season midweek and they did really well. And I think it's just a question of getting them performances on a regular basis each week, and with Mark O'Neill in good form. And when you look at sort of other people around as well, Duncan Reid, you just sort of fancy them. And Nathan Robinson, who they signed at the start of the season, you know, his way at a pro club for the last couple of years. And Nathan's come back a far better player and sort of developed as well. So with those sort of young lads around, they're going to do really well. But Foxtel, you just wonder where the goals are going to come from. You know, Jay Chatwood is there, and Jay is still a huge threat. And, you know, when Lee Gale wasn't there and Jason Charmer wasn't there, you know, Jay can always come up and score goals. But there's a lot of names in that Foxtel team that I didn't recognise. So it's a question of Anthony Corkle having to bring the players in and also, you know, try and get the best out of them, get them in strong positions. And I just think it's going to be a tall order for Foxtel to get any points tomorrow. And that's why I go for Braddon to win.
Up north of the Ballaclone Stadium, Ramsey, maybe by their standards, not the start they would have wanted to the season, just the 1-4 to start their campaign, coming up against the St John's United side, who've only played the 3 games so far, 1-1, drawn 1 and lost 1.
Yeah, they've got a lot of players missing for some reason, Ramsey, so I don't know what's going on there. As we're with St John's, I think they're pretty well full strength tomorrow. Dean Lees, Callum Taggart, Liam Sale will be the three front runners up front. Sam Ingham has come in now and slotted in alongside, you know, others at the back, and Andrew Chadwick's in midfield and work hard. And just, you know, when you look at St John's team, you think to yourself, yeah, that's a good, strong team. But, you know, Ramsey have got key players. They've lost Alfie Scott, but Dylan Pickles played in the last game. But it's just defensively, they don't look right. And Matthew Montgomery's in there, can score goals. You know, goalkeeper-wise, Mason Prince, he's a good goalkeeper. But it's going to take time for the defenders to get used to the goalkeeper. And I just, it's pointing to me tomorrow, I just think Callum Taggart and certainly Dean Lees will just be too much for them. They'll find it difficult to deal with that. And I'm going to go for St John's to win.
And then also up in the north of the island, up at Andrews playing fields, Ayr United, who already find themselves 5 points off the pace of the top two in the Canada Life Men's Premier League at this very early stage, a long way in the season to go, of course. They're at home to an Onken side, Tony, who are unbeaten at the moment. They've won 2 of their 3 games, drawn the other one. Have they maybe been one of the surprise packages at the start of the season?
They have, but I expected it because I've been watching Onken now for the last couple of years with the young under-18s team, and those players now are filtering through into the first team. Bold decision from me is I think Onken have got a great chance to qualify for the Railway Cup. I think they're that good. And, you know, when I pointed out to you when I watched them sort of play against St Mary's, and I said, I think they'll do well. And you sort of looked at me and I thought, well, you know, let's just see how they go. And when you look at the result that they had last week, absolutely tremendous. And Ethan Leavers, Andy Asperidge up front. As long as Tom Creer doesn't go to FC Isle of Man, they've got him as well, because Tom has certainly found a new lease of life. And defensively, they look really good. Patrick O'Reilly looks solid at the back. And I just feel that at the moment, Onken in a right good vein of form. But Ayr United, no Sean Kelly played. Johnny Shields isn't playing this season. So it's all putting pressure around them. But people like Chris Curtis, Chris Duggan have dug in and trying to get goals for them. I'm going to go up for Onken to beat Ayr United, and I hope it doesn't come back and haunt me.
We'll have to wait and see. Well, yeah, 5th in the table going into this weekend, sandwiched between Ayr United and Peel. Not too bad a place to be in terms of where you are on the table at this early stage. Now, I've deliberately left this one to last, Tony, in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. What a game we could have on our hands down at Croit Lowy tomorrow, because it is the meeting of the current top two, Russian United hosting Laxey. Both sides, 4 wins from 4. 1st and 2nd in the table, Russian only top by virtue of goal difference. Tony, what has been the key to these two teams having such a good start to the season, and how big is this game tomorrow?
I don't know, because I'm not being horrible to either of them, but I think they're punching above their weight because they didn't expect to be in this position, I don't think. When you look at Russia and I look at the team, you know, there's, again, a mixture of youth and experience, which is coming good. But, you know, Alaxi are the same, and I'm just looking, you know, where the goals are coming from. And the signing seems to be so far the season is Ed Kanner, who was at Russian and he was at Uni Mills, and now he's at Laxey. He's doing really well, and I just wonder tomorrow how it will unfold. Great debate I had today at work. There was about six of us all football fans, where it's going to go and what's going to happen, and you know, draw was quite a common sort of answer out of it, but a lot of people pointing towards Russian. I think it's going to be a draw. I just think the two of them will cancel each other out.
Very well. We'll take a look at Arden and Drug Unlimited Division 2. Going to start, Tony, on this one with another team that has a perfect record, and that is the current Division 2 leaders, Castletown. 4 wins from 4 so far, and a goal difference of plus 23. They've been racking up the goals in these opening stages. Well, Castletown may have a bit of a tricky test on their hands because they're at home to Moran, who've won both of their two games to start with.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And I'm going to go for Moran to win this one, purely because I know Castletown have been scoring an awful lot of goals. Alex Crawley has been in the thick of it, but when you look at Rob Tier and others right the way through, they've been sharing the goals around, which is absolutely brilliant. And, you know, Ayr United in a great position when you look at it. Play 4, you know, 1-4 and a goal difference of 23. Absolutely brilliant. But, you know, Moran, OK, are in fourth place, Rob, but they've only played 2 games. But they've got maximum points on that one. And checking on their team sheet, when you've got David Reynolds, who left Laxey, came to Moran. Good centre-back. He could play in midfield as well. But, you know, defensively, they've looked pretty solid. And I just wonder if, you know, this one here will get a win or will it be a draw? I think both teams will go for it. Both teams can score goals. And I just think Moran will just pip it at the end of the game.
And in the north of the island, Ramsey Youth Centre and All Boys still searching for their first win of the new season. The win and a draw and a defeat in their opening 2 games so far. They'll be at home to Governors Athletic, also looking for their first win of the season.
Well, they are, and I think you know, Ramsey Youth Centre probably be a little bit disappointed where they are with it, but they've only played 2, but they've only got that 1 point. But Governors Athletic, you know, have just you know, got a lot of sort of new players in there. I know Billy Sweeney's up there and he's mixing things around, but I think you know, just Governors will find it a bit difficult. I think Ramsey Youth Centre just need to get their first 11 out, and then they'll cause a few problems and then start climbing up the table. So I'm going to go for Youthy to win.
Yeah, had a positive campaign last time out as well, Ramsey Youth Centre and All Boys. Well, in the South of the Island, Malou. So Malou, 2 games under their belt so far, a win and a draw for them. They're going to be coming up against Douglas and District. Tough start again for them this season, Tony. 4 defeats from their opening 4.
It is with Douglas and District. And again, I was looking at their team sheet. Mark Quirk's in there playing up front. So you've got Darren Armstrong there at the back in goal. But it just hasn't quite happened for them. They've conceded an awful lot of goals. As well with Malou, they're rebuilding, but they've got some quality in there. Dean Kinley, Paddy Cooper, really good. And I just feel that Malou might just prove a little bit too strong. I think King Krippner's suspended, so he won't be able to play in this one. So I just feel that the players that they've got there, they've got enough to win it, and that's why I go for Malou.
I've already mentioned the team at the top, Castletown. Well, sandwiched between Castletown at the top and Moran in fourth, who Castletown play tomorrow, are two other teams who've had very positive starts to the season, and they both meet tomorrow, second versus third. Colby versus Pulrose United, Tony, now, where Colby, 2 wins and 2 draws, no defeats from their opening 4. Meanwhile, Pulrose winning 2 of their opening 3, just that 1 defeat, which came against Moran last weekend. This could be an intriguing one on paper, at least.
Definitely, and I just don't know what happened with Colby last week, because they really struggled in the first half, got it together in the second half, and scoring loads of goals. And as we've highlighted, Steve Collister's gone back to him. Carl Hickey, their top goal scorers, back in the team as well. So the manager's going to have to change things round. Jordan Edge has been in great form. He's been scoring plenty of goals in there. And, you know, against Paul Rose, when you look at Owen Canepa, Joe Canepa in there, Barry English, there's lots of goals that have joined them, because, you know, Owen could score for St Mary's, no problem, the first division. So he's got to sort of try and pit his wits now in Division 2. And this is going to be a great game, because it'll be real full committed. James McGinn's in there as well. So there's a lot of quality on show. Tough one to predict this, Rob. It's going to be sort of who plays for Colby, I think. If Colby have their stronger starting lineup, I think they'll take it. But if they're missing one or two, I think Paul Rose will take the result.
Very well. Look at Canada Life combination one. The five games there this weekend, Tony.
There is, and Douglas High School All Boys against Corinthians. Corinthians disappointed last week to be leading against Peel 3-1 and then get beat 5-3. But I think they've got enough to beat Old Boys, so I'll go for Corinthians to win. Foxdale against Braddon. Foxdale, again, one or two players have had to come in and sort of help them out. And Braddon, a little bit too strong for them, I think, so Braddon to win. St John's against Ramsey. I think Ramsey will win this. I think if players are back in, the first team, that will help strengthen the combi, so we'll go for Ramsey to get the result there. Onken against Ayr United, I'll go for Onken to take that result. And Laxey against Rushen, as we're seeing, Rushen, one of the strongest teams in this combination one, looking good at, so far this season. Top of the league, played four with 10 points. I'll go for Rushen to take the points away from Laxey.
Yeah, and just a bit of context as well in terms of how the table looks in Canada Life Combination 1 after the opening 3/4 games, depending on the teams and how many games they've played. It's Rushen United currently sitting top on 10 points, unbeaten, 3 wins from their 4 games so far, with just the 1 draw, no defeats, on 10 points. And just a point behind them is Corinthians, 3 wins from 4, just the 1 defeat so far. And then rounding out the top 3 is Peel at the moment, another undefeated side, along with Ramsey in 4th, Peel ahead of Ramsey by virtue of goal difference. Last but certainly not least, on Saturday, Tony, we have 6 games in Ardern and Drugan Limited Combination 2.
We certainly do, and Douglas Royal against Jims. I'm going to go for Royal to take victory. Douglas and District against Malou. It's a close game, but I think it'll be a draw. Governors Athletic against Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. You just be careful, because this season Governors Athletic are playing at St Ninian's School, so that's top of Bray Hill. Against Ramsey Youth Centre, I think Ramsey Youth Centre should be too strong. Douglas Athletic against Paul Rose. At the moment, we haven't got a referee for this game. So if there's anyone out there who is a referee, or anyone who wants to referee this game, please give us a shout at the FAO.
Meeting of the top two in Combination 2 tomorrow.
Well, exactly. So it'd be nice to get that one out of the way. But I'm going to go for Athletic just to win it. Moran against Castletown, I'll go with Moran. And Micah United against Colby. I think Colby are too strong for them.
Well, yeah, and again, just a bit of context from Ardern and Drugan Limited Combination 2. There's actually all of the top four have perfect records so far. So Paul Rose United, they sit top with 4 wins from 4 and a goal difference of plus 25. The three teams beneath them, Douglas Athletic, Castletown and Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, all on perfect records, 3 wins from 3. Douglas Athletic up in second on their goal difference, plus 13, followed by Castletown, plus 11, and then Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, plus 4. So 4 teams there looking to maintain their perfect records. And as we've just alluded to as well, that game between Paul Rose United and Douglas Athletic, which they are still searching for a referee to officiate in. That is a meeting of the top two sides right now as it stands in Ardern and Drugan Limited Combination 2. The footballing action continues on Sunday. The Canada Life Women's League, we did have 3 games originally penciled in, the game between Peel and Rushen United postponed, but 2 other games, 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, Douglas Royal versus Malou and Corinthians versus Union Mills, Tony.
Yeah, a little bit difficult because, you know, it's been well publicised last weekend that a couple of games were postponed. One game went ahead and, you know, Rushen were beaten just narrowly by Onken. But Douglas Royal against Malou, I think Douglas Royal have got enough players together there. So against the Malou side, that, you know, they've got some quality in there, and I think Malou will be too strong. And Corinthians against Union Mills. Well, Union Mills new into the league. A bit of a baptism of fire because they had an easier fixture in the first game, but certainly against Corinthians, it's going to be a tough old afternoon for them, and you know, I'd expect Corinthians to win that.
Last but certainly not least, mustn't forget as well, we have 2 games in the Masters football on Sunday, Tony.
Yeah, Masters football, this is the second set of fixtures. Laxey against St Mary's. St Mary's entered the league this year, which is great to see. I think there's a few players have switched from different clubs in the Masters League to play for St Mary's, which is fine. Laxey are always pretty strong, but I think St Mary's might just have enough to win this one. And Ayr United against Douglas in District. Ayr United pretty strong in this league right the way through. D&D, I don't know if they've signed any new players, but I'd expect Ayr United to take victory.
Tony, thank you very much for just the moment. Elsewhere, after a heavy defeat in midweek, FC Isle of Man face the challenge of lifting themselves again when they head to Pilkington in the NWCFL Premier Division tomorrow afternoon. It looks a tough task on paper for the Ravens, who have the leakiest defence in the division so far, up against the Pilkington team, who are currently the league's top scorers. Well, with his team currently second from bottom of the table, FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones explains how he and his players are handling some of the scrutiny over performances so far this season.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's a small community, isn't it? it. So look, as much as I'm not on social media, I'm very aware of what people are saying about me. So it's not easy. And yes, in an ideal world, you'd prefer people were finding a way to use their energy to provide positive energy for us rather than making it even harder for us. But that's not how the world works. So all we can do is just focus on ourselves and focus on what we believe we need to do to improve individually and as a group, and, you know, use that noise to bring us together and make us closer and work harder for each other. So we're no different to any team that isn't doing as well as we could do. And the noise that surrounds all of that, you can either let it break you or let it make you, and we're trying to help it let it make us. I think there's maybe also a little bit of unrealistic expectations in terms of where we are with the group that we've got and how many games we should realistically be expecting to win on a consistent basis at this level of football. There's maybe a little bit of a reset required because it will take a little bit of time. Where we are now is, whether people don't like me from saying it, but it's reflective of where the local football community is at this moment in time. And the better that environment is for everybody, then the better not just the local game will be, but also the better FC Isle of Man will be.
We saw that brief statement from the club a few weeks ago that this weekend after the game on Saturday will be a review of the season so far. Of course, we can't presume what's going to be said. Just purely from your perspective, what would you consider to be a good outcome of that review?
I mean, we do it every year, or we do it every season, last two seasons anyway. Every 12, 13 games, we catch up, myself and the board, and we discuss what's happened, how we can support each other better, and what the plan is going forwards. And this is no different to normal. Now, some people might read into it something, you know, where are my jobs under threat or my roles under threat, and therefore, you know, based on results, I won't be in the job anymore. Like, I'm not approaching it on that basis, but if that's the outcome, then that's the outcome. Like, I don't know, and it's up to the board to answer that question, not me. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a natural part of the process of any well-functioning club, that you have regular meetings between the football side and the business side of the football club, and that's what it is. Clearly, we're going to be talking about the run of games over the last 12 and 13 on Saturday, and what's happened and some of the context and situations around it, and what may be able to change easily and quickly, and what might be something that, or things that are set for a while. And then based on that, there'll be decisions made anyway. There's always decisions made, and just what those decisions are will be dependent upon how those conversations go. And I've said in my interview, I'm not going anywhere in terms of my decision. I think, you know, the way we work with the players is really protective of them in terms of their qualities and their confidence and their self-belief and their development over a long period of time. So we're comfortable we can really make a difference to the player group. You know, if the club don't agree with that, then the club don't agree with that, and this could be an opportunity for them to tell me that. But you know, I'm going into it as a normal review process, and then what happens.
That is FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones ahead of his team's trip to Pilkington in the NWCFL Premier Division tomorrow. Pilkington versus FC Isle of Man takes place tomorrow at the PSD Stadium in St Helens, with kickoff scheduled for 3 p.m. Well, Tony, very quickly, we'll just talk about FC Isle of Man and a game in midweek. I mean, it was only 6 days ago we saw them get that win over Charnock Richard, and the whole mood seemed to have lifted around the Ball Stadium with the FC Isle of Man picking up 3 points, but completely taken back down to reality in midweek. A 5-1 defeat to AFC Liverpool, and 1-1 it was with less than 20 minutes to go, and then the floodgates opened.
Yeah, it's really disappointing, because probably one of our strengths is our defence, which is a shame, but it's just sort of piling the pressure on the players, piling the pressure on Paul. And after I watched the game last Saturday, I thought, well, maybe this is a corner they're going to turn here, because the second half they kept chipping away. The first half they created chances, and I thought one or two of our quality players grew into the game. But whatever happened midweek, I do not know. And, you know, the players, I'm pretty certain, will have taken responsibility on it. But it's still that thing, isn't it, that, you know, we need to score goals to put the pressure on the other team, and that's not quite happening. And defensively, it must have been a bit of a shambles on Tuesday, which is a shame, because FC Isle of Man aren't like that. So hopefully tomorrow, and it's not going to be easy against Pilkington, because when you look at them in the league, I know they're just above mid-table, but they're a good side.
Top scorers in the league,
yeah,
with 27
exactly.
goals.
And they're
going to
make it so difficult for them. And, you know, I don't know, you know, they keep saying, oh, we're having a chat after the Pilkington game and stuff like that, where they're going to go. But, you know, Paul Jones is the manager, and with respect, Paul Jones is probably the best person to do that job. For whatever reason, I know there's key players that aren't playing this year, and I know Paul keeps saying that, you know, the players that have come in, they're younger and it's going to take time. It is going to take time. But unfortunately, the supporters, and when you're looking at possibly relegation, you haven't got that time. You need to try and switch it round very, very quickly. And I wouldn't want Paul's job for a gold clock, because the criticism he's getting is a little bit harsh, I think, because at the end of the day, if they want him to go or whatever, who did he get in? And is Paul the man for the job? Of course he is, but everything's going against him, which I just hope it sorts itself out.
Well, elsewhere today, FC Alavan did actually announce a new signing for the club. FC Alavan announced the arrival of 16-year-old Ethan Martin-Edge, a former Castletown player and Castle Russian High School student. Ethan is now part of the Stephen Gerrard Academy in Liverpool. FC Alavan goes on to say he is a highly rated attacking player. Ethan can also operate at right back, and his high intensity and ability saw a number of clubs interested in him, with Ethan choosing to represent his home team after a chat with Paul Jones about how the Ravens can further his development. Welcome aboard, Ethan, is the message from FC Isle of Man there. So another young player added to FC Isle of Man's ranks, and maybe just something a little bit different.
Yeah, it can be something a little bit different, because Dean Pinnington was the same. You know, Dean sort of came in, and then, yes, fair enough, he went to Bury, and then he's sort of come back. But it's just not clicking, you know, in that midfield. It's not clicking up front, and, you know, anyone, fresh legs, can come in and cause some problems then, albeit, you know, because something needs to alter. The confidence needs to get back in the team, and any confidence that they picked up from last Saturday is probably gone after that result on Tuesday. So, you know, at the moment, the management team, Gaz Lloyd and certainly Paul Jones, will sort of try and make the players feel a lot better than they probably do at the moment, but it's such a bit of a struggle for them then. Collectively, just we need to try and get it right, and I haven't got any answers neither, because it's such a difficult job to do, to try and, you know, get them results, get them climbing up the table, and then let it form on to get themselves out of that danger zone.
Yes, Tony, thank you very much indeed. Well, yeah, FC Isle of Man, a 3 o'clock kickoff away at Pilkington tomorrow. Then they have a week off after that, and then the Ravens would next be in action at home on the 4th of October, Saturday the 4th of October, against Barnoldswick Town, kickoff that evening at 6 p.m. That's the footballing side of things covered so far. Next, we'll be taking a look at rugby, and also catching up with Vagabonds Ladies, who have their season opener on home soil tomorrow. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. We're turning our attention to rugby now, and one of the headlines in Isle of Man rugby this weekend is that Vagabonds Ladies return for a new season in Women's NC2 North South this Saturday. The Manx side will kick off their campaign on home soil as well when they face Sale FC 1861's second team at Ballafletcher tomorrow. Well, ahead of this weekend, we've been catching up with Vagabonds Ladies coach Jack Kane and player Freya Crowe. They've been explaining how much they're looking forward to the season ahead and some of the ambitions they have.
Yeah, I think everybody's really excited. Obviously, it's a bigger league with some new teams that we've not played before. So I think everybody's looking forward to it and feeling quite optimistic based on how we finished last season. So things are looking good, yeah.
And Freya, from a player's perspective, there just seems to be a really positive atmosphere in the group. What's the key to that?
Friendships, maybe. I don't know. I feel like everybody's just like a big family, and everybody's just really happy to play rugby.
And Jack, from your side of things, you mentioned about the experiences last season. What are the biggest lessons you all took from last season, do you think?
I think it's the importance of away games. I think we showed last season that our home form is really good. You know, we're battering teams at home, but then when we come to away games, we're losing to teams that we really should be beating. So I think now it's just trying to piece it all together and get a full squad travelling away as well, because we're more than capable, because we've shown it at home of dominating the league, frankly. So it's trying to do it home and away now.
And Freya, there has been quite a few changes in the squad over the last couple of years. How would you say the newer players over the last couple of years have really settled into things?
Can't say too much, as I am a new player as of last year, but I think everybody's doing really, really well. I think everybody's settling amazingly, and there's lots of new players that are coming up and they're amazing, to be honest.
You're a newer player as well, so, you know, how good, I suppose, an environment and a community has it been to come into as a new player?
Oh, amazing. I've loved every minute of it. Everybody's so welcoming, so inviting. It's like a second family, really.
How important is that social side of it? So of course you want to win, of course you want to be competitive, but that you can actually go into each weekend enjoying it because you're all putting in a lot of time and effort to take part.
I think that's definitely one of the most important factors of it, because obviously going into a sport of any kind, you want to feel welcome and you want to feel like you can make friends with people who are there. And obviously, when you're able to make friends with people, doesn't matter if you've won or you've lost, you all get to celebrate after, win or lose. It's lovely just spending the time with everyone after the game.
Going into this season, of course, it's a long old season, not just this weekend, but have you set yourselves any particular objectives?
There's nothing concrete on paper, but I think if we're being honest, really, we should be looking to be finishing higher than we did last season. So top three, I guess, is the aim. Not necessarily going to say we want to get promoted, but certainly to do better than last season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, top three. Let's say top three.
And Fred, just finally, on your side of things, have you and the players set any particular objectives, or are you keeping it quite open?
Yeah, quite open. Obviously, promotion would be amazing, but yeah, as Jack said, top three, we'll be happy with.
That is Vagabonds Ladies coach Jack Kane and player Freya Crowe. As Vagabonds Ladies prepare to get their latest women's NC2 North-South campaign underway tomorrow, they will be facing Sale FC 1861's second 15 over at Bala Fletcher at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Well then, I think it's about time we also bring in our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. Dave, very good evening. First off, about Vagabonds Ladies, they're saying there may be some quietly confident ambitions of pushing toward the top three this season. Of course, the season is only just getting underway, but what do you make to their potential predictions as to how well they would like to do?
Yeah, they were close, Rob. Really, really close last year. Two wins would have given them a promotion space. Or sorry, two more wins would have given them a promotion place. And they had two very narrow defeats. I think 14-12 at home against Lee. And there was a close game away at Eccles as well. And if those two had turned into wins, they wouldn't be in women's NC2 North-South, as it's called this season. They'd be a league higher and playing different opposition altogether. So, yeah, they were close last season. The squad seems to have kept its shape. And I'm just looking at the team sheet for tomorrow. There's a few old faces on the bench as well. Corinna Daly back. Natalie Bush is back. Steph Weir is back. And those are all quality, experienced players who know their way around a rugby pitch. And, you know, the squad there as it is, the back row tomorrow, Greba Tasia and Maylene Campbell, those are two awesome players who are really, really hit hard. And Freya Crowe, she's saying she's a new player. There's some set of wheels on that girl. She was on the wing last season. She's going to be at fullback tomorrow. But if they give her any ball at all with a little bit of space on the pitch, she's gone. No one's going to catch her. So, yeah, they've got a lot of promise. And Sale FC 1861, it's a team that arose from the ashes of Sale Sharks when their franchise took over the Sale Football Club. And the women's team, well, Vagas, only a couple of seasons back, were playing their first team as Catherine Crane moved to the UK from Vagabonds, turned back up at Bella Fletcher for Sale against Vagas and ran in three tries, which to everybody's disgust. But Catherine's gone on to bigger and better things. She's playing just below the top tier of women's rugby in the UK. So fair play to her and fair play to Sale for the development work they did with her after she left Vagabonds. And as you say, new opposition in that league. Aldwinians are in there, Macclesfield are in there, and Sale's second team are in there. And these are all teams that Vagabonds haven't played before, so it's going to be difficult to get a read on some of them. But I think with last year's performance, as Freya and Jack have said in that interview, if they can just build on that a little bit, they're going to be there and thereabouts come the sharp end of the season.
Just a reminder then of the Vagabonds Ladies starting squad to take on Sale FC 1861 second 15 tomorrow at Bala Fletcher in women's NC2 North South. So Vagabonds Ladies starting 15, Becca Hicks, Maisie Murray, Lois Mooney, Sharon McCarrick, Georgie Quayle, Maylene Campbell, Greba Tasia, Charlotte Hurd, Sammy Mack, Lauren Ellison, Leona McGovern, Becky Dunn, Holly Shea, Freya Crowe and Rosina McNown. The substitutes are Corinna Daly, Natalie Bush, Quinn Shipton, Steph Weir, Triona Kelly, Meg Cohen, Holly Scott and Chloe Dillon. Best of luck to them. Well, outside of Vagabonds Ladies getting their campaign underway, Douglas are going to be back at home, aren't they, Dave, in Regional 2 Northwest?
Yeah, game against Altrincham Kersal. Now, I was writing a preview for Manx Radio last night? Yeah, Thursday, I'm trying to remember which day it is. It's going to be difficult with only a couple of games played to label anybody as strugglers, but Altrincham Kersal have played two games, both at home, and lost two games. Yes, they've got losing bonus points in both, so they were close. But that suggests to me that Altrincham Kersal may be nearer the bottom end of proceedings. Douglas, difficult to get a read on them. They played 2-1-1, lost one. They were in great form at home in their first game against North Ribblesdale, although it was a little bit close to the wire when they won it with a stoppage time penalty try. Team selection consistent. The big change in this week's team is at scrum half. Craig Martin's going to come in. No room on the bench or in the squad for Nathan Robson. Now, I haven't heard from Nathan, so he could well be injured or unavailable with work, which may be why they've made the change. Simon Hoddenott's going to come back into the front row. That guy is awesome. He can play anywhere in the forwards and in a couple of positions in the backs as well. It's going to be a massive boost for everybody to see him run out onto the pitch. New standoff, Matty Wood. He looks good. He scored against North Ribblesdale, and he's got a tremendous amount of power for a little guy. He's not massive in stature, but he took a ball about 5 metres out from the line against Ribblesdale with a load of bodies around him, and he managed to power his way through them. So things are looking good. Team selection, pretty good. Just those couple of changes. I think Hoddenott coming in as a change, and Craig Martin coming in for Nathan Robson at scrum half as a change. But apart from that, that's a pretty solid team they've got out, and it's pretty much consistent from week one right through down to week three. That always makes for good reading. I'm back in Douglas to take big points tomorrow.
So, Amanda Douglas versus Altrincham Kersal in Regional 2 Northwest, kicking off at 2 p.m. tomorrow at Portishee. So, the Douglas starting 15 is as follows. So, numbers 1 to 15 in numerical order for Douglas. They are Simon Hoddenott, Josh Campbell, Owen Carvin, Harry Cartwright, Captain Blake Snell, John Dutnall, Ian Larson, Liam Kirkpatrick, Craig Martin, Matty Wood, Kyle Martin, Josh Duncan, Harry Hewson, Ollie Corkish and Jonty Cope. And there are three substitutes available for Phil Kringle's side. They are Rob Todd, Blake Everson and Will Kane. And there is one other match taking place in Isle of Man Rugby tomorrow. That is also taking place at Portishee before Douglas take on Altrincham Kersal there. And it sees the return of the Manx Shield, well, to give it its full title, the Hartford Holmes Manx Shield, Dave.
Yeah, very grateful. Well, everybody in Manx Rugby is very grateful to Hartford Holmes for their sponsorship. We're just making some logo changes, and there's going to be advertising banners up around all the grounds as well. But that's all in the pipeline. The competition gets underway, as you say. It was looking a little bit bleak, to be honest, when Ramsey went to rejoin the English Clubs Championship. Douglas Celts, Douglas second team, call themselves Douglas Celts. They've come back out of retirement. They've got a team out. They're going to play Southern Nomads tomorrow. Western Vikings will be the other team. And each team will play each other twice at home, twice away. And that will give a Manx Shield winner come, I think, the back end of February is when it finally finishes. So fair play to Douglas for getting that second team out. And we're hopefully, fingers crossed, see potentially Ramsey and Vagabonds start to return to get a second team, maybe towards the end of the season when enthusiasm's generated a little bit more. Difficult to read on the game. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff at Portishee. Difficult to get a read. I don't have any team news from either side as well. Nomads were on great form earlier on. They beat Vagabonds in a pre-season warm-up. Yes, probably not Vagabonds' full team, but a win's a win against league opposition when you're playing in the Manx Shield. And Nomads turned them over down there at Ballykillia. So probably Nomads are favourites, but Douglas have got a tremendous amount of quality in their squad. And with only three subs required for the first team, they should have some very experienced bodies to run out against Nomads and could give them a shock if Nomads take it lightly. Plus, of course, the weather conditions tomorrow aren't forecast to be brilliant, and when the weather conditions aren't great, it's a bit of a leveler for the weaker team. It's a bit harder to kick the ball in the wind, it's a bit harder to catch it in the rain, and that might just open the window a little bit for Douglas, but on paper at least, it should be a Nomads win.
Dave Christian, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Going to turn our attention to hockey now, and week two beckons of the 2025 Isle of Man mixed hockey season. The season openers took place across the islands and across the divisions last Saturday, with a couple of teams across the respective levels making early strong statements. To go through what's going to come this weekend, our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham joins us. Ben, to start with, we'll take a look first off at last weekend, actually. Obviously, great to see the games taking place across the board and, of course, all covered by umpires as well. So, in general, if you had to give a bit of a summary to start with, how would you say the opening weekend went across Manx hockey?
In my eyes, I think the first weekend went really well. Really close action, and a lot of people I've spoken to, you know, off the pitch have all said that it was just great to be back playing. So yeah, let's hope it's the same again this weekend. We've got a full set of fixtures, no postponements to bring this week, and all the fixtures are covered with umpires. So great news.
Excellent news indeed. Let's take a look at those fixtures then. We'll start off with the mixed Premier League. We'll go through these in chronological order. We've got two games pushing back at 12:35. And we'll start with the game taking place at the NSC in Douglas. And that sees the defending champions, Bakaze, who got off to a winning start last weekend, up against Vikings B. Seems a bit of a mismatch on paper at the moment, Ben, but of course, stranger things have happened in hockey.
Absolutely. And of course, Bakaze last week got a great win, but they did concede two goals against Castletown Southerners, newly promoted up into the Premier League. So Southerners can take, you know, some good advantage from getting two goals past the current champions. But I'm sure Bakaze would have loved to have kept a clean sheet. Vikings B, of course, last week they faced their A team and it went the way of their A team very convincingly. I'm pretty sure that Vikings B will want to try and do something this weekend, but it's going to be a tough ask against Bakaze. Bakaze win for that one.
Indeed, the other 12:35 pushback. This one's down in the South, the Island at King William's College. Castletown Celts, who were held to an opening day draw by Harlequins A, they're going to be coming up against Valkyries A, who took victory last weekend.
And for the second week in a row, Castletown Celts game is going to be the game of the weekend for me. This game has been known to be very close, just like their game last week against Harlequins. And I'm going to sit on the fence on this one again this week, Rob. I'm not going to put me bets on who's going to win, because I think it's going to be a very close game between two sides. Okay, Valkyries A got that win last weekend, but Castletown Celts, they were 2-1 up and Harlequins got it back to make it 3-3. So a missed opportunity there for Celts, but Valkyries A probably coming into this one maybe favourites, but I think it's going to be a very close game and a stalemate.
And two games in the mixed Premier League that are pushing back at 2:05 at the NSC in Douglas. Bakaze B, who were only just narrowly edged out by Valkyries A last weekend by 3-1, coming up against Vikings A, who were 12-0 victors last weekend and currently top of the table by virtue of goal difference after that one game.
Absolutely, and Vikings A making a big statement there that they're well up for this title this year. They're definitely going to be making sure that they keep the pressure on. Bakaze to, if anything, any slip-ups happen there. Bakaze B are going to have a very tough day at the office, but Vikings A, you would favour to come out on top on that one.
And the other game, the mixed Premier League, 2:05 at King William's College in the south of the island, Harlequins A, who, as we mentioned before, were involved in a draw with Castletown Celts, a 3-3 draw last weekend. Very entertaining game indeed. Up against Castletown Southerners, who, Ben, who said had a real baptism fire last weekend up against the defending champions Bakaze A. But as you say, did manage to get two goals past what was a notoriously difficult Bakaze defence to crack last season as well. So coming up against Harlequins A, do you think they'll still have taken positives from last week up against the Harlequins A side that had an entertaining start, shall we say, up against Castletown Celts?
Yeah, I think they will, and this I think will be a close game as well. Southerners, like we said, they got the two goals past their backers, which has hampered their goal difference, because as we saw last year with a few of the leagues, Rob, goal difference did come into a factor at the end of the season, so them two goals could be costly for backers. We're only in week two, but it's early doors. Harlequins A though, great comeback last week from being 2-1 down at half time to get it back to 3-3. It's going to be an interesting game, this one, I reckon. I'm going to say, on experience, Harlequins are going to come away with the win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Southerners make this a very tough day at the office for Harlequins.
We wait and see. Those are the top flight fixtures. Over to Mixed Division 1. We've got three games there. Earliest pushback is at the NSC in Douglas, and that is at 11:05 tomorrow morning. That sees Vikings C, who were beaten in their opening game of the season up against the Bakaze C side, who took a narrow 4-3 victory over Ramsey last week.
Yeah, and it was an absolute thriller of a game that Bakaze C had last week against Ramsey A. And the report that came from both captains was just echoed what a great first game of the season it was for both sides. But Bakaze coming out on top. Vikings C, though, they'll want to make amends of their opening weekend defeat. I'm going to go for Bakaze C, though, on this one.
and then at 12:35 up in the North Island at Ramsey Grammar School. Ramsey A, who was just mentioned there, were narrowly edged out in that entertaining game against Backers C. They're on home soil, if you like, and they're coming up against the Valkyries B side, who won on the opening day by 3-1 last week.
Yeah, of course, Valkyries B got that win last weekend over their C team. You would have favoured the B team to come out on top on that one. But as we've seen in other derbies, the lower team can beat the higher team. Ramsey A will want to make amends of that narrow defeat last weekend. It's going to be a close game, this one, I reckon. I'm going to be bold here, Rob. I'm going to say Ramsey A.
And the other game sees at 2:05 at QE2. Harlequins B, who were victorious on the opening weekend last weekend up against Valkyries C, will be looking to bounce back from defeat to their fellow Valkyries team, the Valkyries B team, last time out.
Yeah, and of course, Harlequins B, newly promoted into Division 1, had a great start last weekend with that victory over Vikings C, putting them second in the league, just on goal difference between Valkyries B and themselves. Valkyries C, they'll want to make amends of their opening weekend defeat to their B team. It's going to be an interesting game. Can Harlequins, though, keep their 100% record up again? Because they're still undefeated.
And I know it was only the opening weekend of the season, but just looking across all those results in mixed Division 1, early days, of course, but no game was won by higher than a 2-goal scoreline. So maybe tells you how tightly contested games were. Very quickly, we'll take a look through 3 games in mixed Division 2, Ben.
Yeah, the first one in mixed Division 2 is at 11:05. That's Vikings D against Castletown Cosney. I'm going to go for a Vikings D win on that one. That's at Castle Rushen High School. 2:05, we've got Ramsey Ravens against Castletown Cushags. That's at Castle Rushen High School. I'm going to go for a Ravens win on that one. And then the final game is Castletown Camags against Backers Colts, and that's at 3:35 at QE2. Backers Colts had a great win last weekend and scoring plenty of goals. I'm going to go for a Backers Colts win.
And running out the senior leagues on Saturday, we've got the 4 games in mixed Division 3.
Yeah, Backers D against Castletown Carracks is the first one at 11:05. I'm going to go for a Backers D win on that one. 12:35 is Harlequin C against Backers Mixed Books, and that's at QE2. I'm going to go for a Harlequin C win on that one because I'm really looking forward to getting back on the pitch this weekend. And again, 12:35 is Vikings E against Harlequins D. That's at Castle Rushen High School. Harlequins D, newly formed this season, had a great opening win. I'm going to go for a Harlequins D win on that one. And Ramsey Rookies against Valkyries D, 2:05 at Ramsey Grammar School. I'm going to go for a Valkyries D win.
And outside of that, just a reminder, 3 games in the Mixed Under-15s League, all pushing back at 3:35 at the NSC. It'll be Backers versus Vikings. And then Castletown Sabres versus Ramsey at Ramsey Grammar School. Castletown Sharks versus Harlequins at Castle Rushen High School. All of them pushing back at 3:35. Just very quickly, Ben, got around 30 seconds here. Just a reminder for those who may be tuning in to find out what's going on tomorrow, we also do have live cup draws taking place tomorrow.
Yep, so tomorrow night on Classified between 5 and 6, we are going to be doing the draw for the Mixed Cup, Mixed Plate and Mixed Bowl first round, and then from there on we have a table which will then work out the rest of the round. You'll be able to listen to the draw on AM 1368 online, and we are also going to live stream it on the Manx Hockey Association Facebook page.
Ben, thank you very much indeed. Well, finally tonight, a big Manx contingent is heading to the UK this weekend to take part in the returning Celtic Match races. Making a comeback after a 15-year hiatus, the meeting sees teams from the Isle of Man, Ireland, Scotland and Wales face off in a series of 2- and 3-wheeled racing in a bid to win the Celtic Sword of Honour. This year's competition is taking place at East Fortune in Scotland on Saturday and Sunday. Andrus Racing Association Chairman Linda Alton-Heath believes there's plenty of quality in the Manx team heading across the water.
15 years since we did it. The last time was 2010 in the Isle of Man. 12 solos and 4 sidecars with reserves for each class as well. Points for each one. Sometimes it's a separate race. Sometimes it's involved in another race. Teams will be denoted by wearing bibs. Real team feel about it.
What are the best aspects about it?
Camaraderie really has got to be it. It's a group of 12 solos, say 4 sidecars. It's that team feel. We race at Derby and every man for himself. Well, we have a great family paddock atmosphere. To corral this Isle of Man team has literally made me go grey. Got about 35 vans going and about 100 people.
Who is going to be representing the Isle of Man?
What a team. Superbike class, we've got our new Isle of Man Centre champion, Jamie Kringle, supported by Rory Parker. Kyle Casement and Grant Thompson in with the 600s. Pre-injection, we've got Lex Haval and Paul Morby. Lex just won the pre-injection championship on the Isle of Man. Super Twins, Francesco Feraldo, Aaron Redmond. We've got Jason Corcoran as a reserve for that. Paul Cassidy's a super reserve. Got him in as reserve for Superbike 600. Riddam pre-injection. CB500s, we've got Sam Bowers, Dewan Hunter, and we've got Matt Davies in as reserve. Juniors, we've got two of our youngsters going, so George Cowie and again Ewan Bainbridge. And then sidecar team, these are the ones to beat: Ryan and Callum Crowe, Hopi and Lenny. We've got Jim and Gale, and we've got Stu Bainbridge and Liam Wood for our sidecars, and we've got a reserve sidecar going, which is Michael Jackson and Jake Roberts.
The big news not long after the team was confirmed, really, that the next Celtic Match races are due to be held on the Isle of Man in 2026. So how exciting is that?
Yeah, the Isle of Man's only one in the Isle of Man, so we're hoping to break that when we go to Scotland. But yeah, we're having it here next year. We've got a main sponsor this year of Ockels, and we've been hugely supported by the Steam Packet. So having it here next year as well will just help us with assisting our sponsors. And yeah, it should give us a home advantage.
That was Andreas Racing Association Chairman Linda Alton-Heath, ahead of Team Isle of Man heading to the returning Celtic Match races taking place at East Fortune in Scotland on Saturday and Sunday. Best of luck to all those who are going to be taking part. That's just about all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks to our guests as always. And don't forget, you can catch all the latest sports news over on the Isle of Man Sports Hub at manxradio.com. And this will be available as a podcast in the next few moments. Until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.